I can understand women want to be in a safe place. I mean, you have to remember, I lived my life as one, and I had many of the fears that they did. But I think that transsexual women, and even transsexual men who have lived their lives as women, are not a threat to the women that go to that festival.
Seriously, who wouldn't want to go to a prom where a drag show was involved? More importantly, who wouldn't want to go to a prom where everyone could be completely and totally themselves without feeling inhibited because of their sexual orientation?
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Malaysian reformer's sodomy trial ends in suspicious conviction, trans woman menace Michigan Music Festival, and supportive teens share lessons learned at the gay prom. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Chase Schulte.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending August 12, 2000. The long-running sodomy trial of Malaysia's former Deputy Prime Minister Anwar Ibrahim came to an end this week with a guilty verdict and a sentence of 9 years in prison. Anwar has always maintained that the charges against him are fabrications of a high-level political conspiracy. Once the popular heir apparent to aging Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad, it's now impossible for Anwar to return to politics before the year 2014. Yet for many Malaysians, he continues to be a symbol for reform of corruption and cronyism in government. Despite police warnings and heavy police presence, several hundred of his supporters rallied, first outside the courthouse and twice more later in the week. They plan a national tour to tell the public about problems in the government and to organize more demonstrations. Human rights and jurists groups, both in Malaysia and internationally, have objected that his trial was not a fair one. Amnesty International has named him a prisoner of conscience. A number of governments have also expressed concern, including the European Union, Canada, New Zealand, and Australia. Australia's Prime Minister John Howard, long a critic of Mahathir's use of authority and police to crush political opposition, said Malaysia's judiciary now seemed less independent than in the past. He said the trial does seem to be part of a series of events that represents some kind of political campaign against Anwar, and that is a matter of very great concern.
In Australia's own courts, Mark Valera was found guilty this week of the murders and mutilations of two gay men in Wollongong, one the city's former mayor, Frank Arkell. Before Valera's apprehension, the gruesome killings terrorized the city as Arkell and shopkeeper David O'Hearn were mysteriously attacked in their own homes in the space of 2 weeks in June 1998. Valera confessed in detail to both murders and had made a long list of future victims that included his own father, who he said had molested him. Chillingly, Valera smiled when the jury's verdict was read. His own sister said afterwards that she hadn't believed in the death penalty, but she did now.
In the Australian state of Victoria, a case of job discrimination against a transsexual was heard for the first time this week. The case was of particular interest because Victoria's government this year introduced a bill to prohibit discrimination against transgenders, as all the other Australian states and territories except Queensland do. But although the bill had strong support, it was withdrawn when two legislators offered amendments. It's expected to be reintroduced later this year. Lacking that law, trans woman Sharon Menzies' case was argued on grounds of discrimination based on sex, physical attributes, and disability, gender identity disorder. She was represented by transsexual barrister Martin Willoughby Thomas. When Menzies sold her business to AstroVac and joined the company in 1996, she told the managing director that she planned to undergo sex reassignment, but he warned her she could lose her job. That warning was renewed in 1997, but she went ahead with the surgery in 1998. On her return, she says she was shunned, verbally humiliated, and just weeks later, fired. Her barrister says that as many as 95% of transsexuals lose their jobs following sex reassignment. AstroVac said her firing had been the result of poor performance, particularly on a large contract whose loss could have damaged the small company. But Menzies said she was known as a guru in her field of designing and marketing industrial vacuum systems.
Australian Medical Association President Karen Phelps resigned this week from her other post as chair of the Satellite Group. Satellite last year became the world's first gay-identified company to go public, and Phelps was believed to be the world's first openly lesbian chair of a publicly traded corporation. Originally a property development company, Satellite gained attention when it acquired control of 80% of Australia's gay and lesbian publications. But Satellite shares were never a success on the market, and now the company has other problems as well. Its founder, Greg Fisher, was fired as managing director last month and is under investigation by the Australian Securities and Investment Commission, along with its former largest stockholder, John Broster. Two other investigations are also underway, and numerous lawsuits are in the works by creditors. Phelps had called for appointing an administrator, and when the board narrowly rejected the idea, she felt she had to step down. Fisher, still the second largest stockholder, had already requested a shareholders meeting that he hoped would vote her out. He still maintains that the company is in a strong position, and he hopes to regain control of it.
In infighting of a different kind, a Florida gay who had been assaulted by his partner was denied a domestic violence restraining order in a case which has caught the attention of the American Civil Liberties Union. Susan Gage reports from Tallahassee.
The case involves a 27-year-old Bradenton man who sought a restraining order to keep his partner away from him following a brutal beating. The man went to Manatee County Circuit Judge Mark Gilner for help and included photographs with his court documents showing his injuries. At first, the judge denied the domestic violence injunction because he said it didn't apply to roommates. When the man argued he'd been in a long-term relationship with his abuser, the judge further explained the state laws banning gays and lesbians from adopting children or getting married show the legislature doesn't consider gay and lesbian couples as families. Matt Coles, director of the ACLU's Lesbian and Gay Rights Project, says such an interpretation is dangerous and unconstitutional.
We're talking about someone who's seeking legal protection from domestic violence, and the judge says you can't if you're in a same-sex couple. I can't think of anything that would more clearly be a denial of the equal protection of the law.
Cole says the ACLU is in contact with county officials to try to resolve the situation in Manatee County. He says this is the first time he's aware of a judge denying a domestic violence injunction for someone in a same-sex relationship. For This Way Out, this is Susan Gage in Tallahassee, Florida.
The U.S. Reform Party has completely split in two, carrying out two simultaneous conventions this week, with one faction led by homophobic former Republican Pat Buchanan and the other by open gay Jim Manja. Manja's group includes many who have been with the party since its founding in 1992 by Ross Perot. The party was designed to stand aside on social issues. Its constitution calls diversity one of its greatest strengths and says that members will foster tolerance of the customs, beliefs, and private actions of all persons which do not infringe upon the rights of others. But social issues made Buchanan famous as a representative of the extreme religious right. When he moved into the small Reform Party this year, he brought along his former Republican supporters, whose numbers were large enough to take over the party in most states and to make him its presidential nominee. Manja's group believes Buchanan forces filled out 500,000 of the party's mail-in ballots with the names of his donors without their knowledge. Manja's group has filed a complaint with the Federal Elections Commission. They hope to prevent Buchanan from accessing more than $12 million in federal funds the party earned with its votes in the 1996 elections. Despite the party's tolerant platform, Buchanan this week distributed his own manifesto naming rampant homosexuality as a sign of the nation's moral decline and cultural decadence. He promised that as president, he would oppose civil rights protections and legal unions for gays and lesbians, and once again bar them from military service. He did include a statement that even homosexuals have constitutional rights, and that violence against them should be condemned and punished.
Democratic presidential hopeful Vice President Al Gore's choice of Senator Joseph Lieberman as his running mate this week was generally welcomed by his gay and lesbian supporters. Although Lieberman voted for an anti-gay measure in 1994, he has since called that vote a mistake. And his vote in support of the so-called Defense of Marriage Act in 1996 is no different than Gore's own position. But in the most recent congressional session, he scored 100% in the Human Rights Campaign's rating. In key pending legislation, he supports the Employment Non-Discrimination Act and is a co-sponsor of the Hate Crimes Prevention Act. He also now supports gays and lesbians serving openly in the military.
AIDS pioneer Dr. Matilda Krim was one of 15 people to receive the Medal of Freedom from President Clinton this week. It's the highest civilian honor in the United States. Krim was recognized as one of the first to see AIDS for the threat it was and to speak out about it. In 1983, she founded what is now the American Foundation for AIDS Research, which she chairs. The official citation said, "An extraordinary example of compassion and commitment, Matilda Krim has given comfort and hope to and preserved the dignity of thousands of people living with AIDS."
And finally, all but one of the contestants on the British reality TV show Big Brother can look forward to a drink with openly gay pop star George Michael. In this week's edition, their conversation turned to Michael's outing last year. When contestant Nick equated homosexuality with pedophilia, all the others shouted him down. Michael sent a message to them saying, "Hi guys, just wanted to tell you all I saw Thursday's show and that it was great to see such a diverse group of people making it clear that they know the difference between a gay person and a pedophile. I hope you all realize that viewers all over the country have related to one or several of you on a personal level for the last few weeks. Whether you know it or not, your opinions have become important. It's a good thing that Channel 4 chose some really good people to take part. To say thank you for your kind words last night, please let me buy you all a drink when they let you out on parole, but preferably on a night when Nick is completely unavailable."
That's News Wrap for the week ending August 12, 2000, written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Chase Schulte.
Prom night takes on a whole new meaning for two intrepid teenage reporters later in the program. Since the mid-1970s, events like the week-long Michigan Women's Music Festival have been life-changing woman-to-woman-to-woods experiences for tens of thousands. These gatherings give women a unique opportunity to party, play, learn, and push the envelope in a place where women do everything from stage lighting to cooking lentil soup. But it's not unusual for controversies to arise whenever envelopes get pushed. That's never been truer than at this year's 25th anniversary Michigan Women's Music Festival. An estimated 8,000 women are occupying the private 650-acre forest site, along with a group of protesters who want to see transsexuals included in this celebration of womanhood. This Way Out's Leslie Lawson has the story.
Organizers of the Michigan Women's Music Festival hope to promote, in their words, a week where women reveal all things female, where we are strong, wild, and sexual, where women are sacred and girls are safe. But this mission statement is only meant to apply to women who were born women. In 1992, festagoer Nancy Jean Burkholder was identified as being transgendered by festival securities, then asked to leave the land. In response to festival policies, a small group of transgendered people and supporters calling themselves Transsexual Menace camped across from the entrance of the festival, creating the first Camp Trans in 1994 to protest the exclusionary policies of the Michigan Women's Music Festival. And this year, they are joined by the activist group, the Lesbian Avengers, as they continue to protest in hopes to educate festagoers about their cause. Tony Barreto Nito is a transsexual, born female, and had a sexual reassignment surgery to become a man. Barreto Nito is the founder of TOPS, the Transgendered Officers to Protect and Serve. Barreto attended the festival last year and was asked to leave after it was discovered that he was a transsexual. Tony came to the festival last year to test the policy of women born women only and said he entered the land openly while wearing a Transsexual Menace t-shirt.
If they stuck with the policy woman born woman, then, in all reality, even post-op, they couldn't turn me down, if that was parameter, and then I am.
And, says Barreto, the inclusion of transgendered people is not a threat. In fact, he sees the change in years to come.
And it is about inclusion and about, you know, people, I can understand women want to be in a safe place. I mean, you have to remember, I lived my life as one, and I had many of the fears that they did. So I can understand wanting to be in a safe space. But I think that transsexual women, and even transsexual men who have lived their lives as women, are not a threat to the women that go to that festival. that's where the education comes in, so they have some idea of who we are and what we're about.
Organizers of Camp Trans say the goal this year is to educate and promote a dialogue between festival goers about the transgendered community. Stacey Montgomery Scott is a member of the Boston chapters of the Lesbian Avengers and a transsexual woman. She says,
for one thing, trans women do attend Michigan and have attended Michigan every year for its 25 years. It was, a decade ago now that Mary Jean Burkholder was expelled when they discovered she was a transsexual woman. Trans women had always been going to Michigan, and frankly, trans women have continued to go since then. They're just sort of required to adopt a Pentagon-like don't ask, don't tell policy.
Camp Trans is not anti-women's festival, says Montgomery Scott, and she supports the festival, but with the inclusion of the transgendered community.
It's important to say that Camp Trans is not an anti-Michigan initiative. I wouldn't be there if I didn't think Michigan would be a wonderful thing to go to. I would love to attend Michigan. That would be my dream. Michigan is a wonderful thing. I support Michigan. I encourage people to go. I think the majority of women who attend Michigan support trans inclusion, in all honesty.
Lisa Vogel, organizer and owner of the 650 acres that house the festival each year, was unavailable for comment, but recently stated that the hallmark of Michigan has always been its creation of separate, self-defined, and deeply honored women's space. Vogel says the festival has always been home to many women who would be considered gender outlaws, either because of their sexual orientation or gender presentation, be it butch, bearded, androgynous, femme, and every combination and permutation in between, in a festival for and about the glorious diversity of women-born women. Danielle, who attended the festival for the first time last year, identifies herself as a sexually reassigned woman, but does not support the efforts of Camp Trans. She hopes things will eventually calm down when she may someday be able to enjoy the festival without what she calls the negative atmosphere created by Camp Trans.
No, I'm not going to go this year in protest of the Camp Trans. It seems like I was kind of accepted a little bit, so I tread lightly, and I had a nice time. The only time that problems came up was after the Camp Trans. I saw women with beards getting asked if they were men and what they identify as, and I wasn't being harassed.
Dana Rivers, on the board of directors for Pride and Equality, is a transgendered female who supports the actions of Camp Trans and says that support is growing among festival goers.
There was an informal poll taken last year inside the festival, and 3 out of 4, I think it was 73.5% is the number I saw, of the attendees, and so these were people inside, so we have to assume very few transgender people, were very supportive of transgender, transsexual women being permitted in. What people need to understand is that I believe that I was born a woman with a condition known as gender dysphoria, and I had that condition corrected with medical procedures and hormone treatments and all of that stuff, and therefore, with that done, I present myself as a woman and act and walk and talk as a woman and should be allowed in women's space.
At this year's Michigan Women's Music Festival, organizers want to downplay the efforts of protesters, hoping Camp Trans will respect the festival's mission of women-born, women-only space, while the transgendered community says they just want to be respected and given the right of eventual inclusion in the festival. Reporting for This Way Out, this is Leslie Lawson.
I'm Marty Adam, singer-songwriter. I want to say thanks for This Way Out. This magazine didn't exist in 1984 when I came off the road, and it's a thrill now that I'm back performing again to know that this show exists and is broadcasting lesbian and gay music and culture all over the world.
As complicated as adolescence can be, gay and lesbian teens face a mixture of frustrating social conflicts. The harassment, disapproving glances, and awkward stares can be bad enough, but on top of that, many young lesbians and gays who are actively dating, just like their non-gay classmates, can feel uncomfortable at the traditional rites of passage, such as the all-important high school prom. The solution, thought up by a gay student a few years back, was to hold an alternative prom where every student, regardless of sexual orientation, is welcomed and comfortable. Similar events are now held in many places across the U.S. Two supportive students, Julie Joy and Allison Day, attended this year's alternative prom in Portland, Maine, with tape recorders in hand, and sent us their story.
Watch out, here I come.
We heard so much about it last year. Seriously, who wouldn't want to go to a prom where a drag show was involved? More importantly, who wouldn't want to go to a prom where everyone could be completely and totally themselves, without feeling inhibited because of their sexual orientation? Most likely, it was this mastermind thinking that went into the planning and ideas of an alternative prom, or the gay prom, as it's commonly referred to. Being two straight teens, admittedly, Julie and I had no idea what we were getting ourselves into. But what we did know was that it was important that some of our friends, who are not straight, feel comfortable with themselves and their dates. Aren't proms enough of a worry with gowns and tux shopping, flowers, hair, makeup, whether you're overdressed or underdressed? Who needs the added worry about what classmates are going to think of them when you show up with a date of the same gender? Or if you are male and decide to wear a gown and vice versa? We wanted this for our friends, and we wanted it for ourselves.
Okay, the first impression I have of this gay prom thing that Allie and I will be attending shortly is that I'm kind of disappointed because I got to her house early. I was supposed to be there around 5 after babysitting, but the woman came home early, so I got to Allie's early. And she was in the middle of working on her Ramblings newspaper crap, because she's editor-in-chief of our school paper next year. And I mean, that's okay, but I was all excited about going to prom, and she wasn't there yet. You know, she wasn't at that same all-excited point. And she had been all week, so it was kind of a disappointment. But that's okay. I think it's pretty interesting that Kristen's going to be wearing a dress tonight, and Sadie is too.
Sadie's wearing a dress.
Yeah, nice. Sadie is not really feminine, and it's going to be really fun to see her in a dress, isn't it?
I think they're going to dinner with us. Where are we going to dinner, Julie's? We're going to Chili's!
We're going to Chili's,
we're
yay.
We're going all out tonight. We're definitely going all out, spending the big money. But we're going stag. Julie knows that. We're not?
We're going stag? I thought we were going together.
Yeah, but like we're money-wise...
Oh.
Like, I ain't paying for you.
Yeah. I'll pay for you for my prom, though, because I did ask you to my prom. And this is, like, nobody's prom, so it's not like I asked you to it, right?
Yeah, this is just, like, a date of convenience or such. Oh, look at the hurt in her eyes. Julie, it was a joke.
Okay.
You know I'm just not concentrating on the prom thing right now. I have to get this article edited. And there Julie is. She's sitting at the dining room table getting her hair all done. She looks absolutely gorgeous so far. What's that, Julie? I think the Morans needs to hear that.
Allie, you look so cute.
Thanks, Julie, as do you.
We dolled ourselves up in the traditional way that precedes prom. You know, the hairspray, the strapless bras, the gunky eyeliner that always leaves a black ring around your eyes by the end of the night, where, despite your previous glamour, you bear a very close resemblance to a raccoon. We had quite the elegant carriage to accent our gowns, a 1989 Cutlass Sierra Oldsmobile in an attractive shade of blue, answering only to the name of Ethel.
Julie, how are you going to drive with that big puffy skirt?
Exactly. That's just what I was about to ask you. I'm wearing this big-ass prom dress. I almost, like, shut some of it in the door. And I think I'm going to have some driving issues. I'm going to have to pull it way up. But that's okay, because we're not really on a date, per se. We're not a couple, so you can see a little late.
We're officially late for dinner, 4 minutes late, and we haven't even gotten her makeup done yet.
Yeah.
We thought maybe Ethel died. Sarah, that
is not real. Oh, you know what she did?
I locked the keys in the car.
Hey. Say that again, Julie. I locked the keys in the car.
Our excitement escalated. But in the typical tradition of Julie and Allie, our timing was a little off.
We did actually make it to the restaurant in enough time to meet up with a few friends and have a bite to eat.
One of the things that makes prom so darn fun is the endless compliments you receive from your friends. Of course, it's not every day that you see a group of attractive young females draped in formal attire. And naturally, even a few strangers asked questions.
Right. Why is she wearing a prom dress? From Chili's.
Yeah, we got a lot of stares.
Why is she standing there with a microphone and a prom dress?
We got a lot of that, why are you wearing a prom dress and holding a microphone look?
Yeah.
But we haven't really gotten any comments yet.
Yeah, we've also had a couple of people say, you know, what school is this for?
Yeah.
It's not.
Hey,
not for school.
Your date's back. Yay! What have you guys heard of, like, I heard Sarah was talking to somebody in the bathroom, and they said, like, oh, what prom are you going to? And you said the alternative prom. What did they say?
Oh, isn't that nice? And then they walked off.
Yeah. Cool.
I just wanted... Were they, like, uncomfortable?
When they asked, I was kind of uncomfortable, but then
did
it's
they know
like...
What you're talking about?
No, I don't think they had the slightest idea what the
She's
heck I was
like,
saying.
An alternative prom. She was like, oh, that's nice, and like walked away.
That reaction made me wonder what reactions would have been had we said, we're going to the Deering Junior Prom, which was happening that same evening.
Some people who spoke to us were cordial and truly interested in where we were going. But why the strange reactions in the bathroom? Were those people homophobic? Did they think we were going to rub off on them? Did they just automatically assume we were all gay and then just shut us out from there? These incidents confirmed for Julie and me why we were skipping our own proms to attend this one. If perfect strangers acted this way, who could tell the way classmates and even some friends and teachers would feel seeing two girls slow dancing, or two boys looking better in their gowns than some of the cheerleaders?
Once out of the restaurant, it was just us to prom. On the way to prom, our train of three vehicles slightly derailed. Okay, so it got completely off track, but we made it to prom intact. As we prepared to see some familiar faces and many strangers, moods once again became very excited, despite the incident at the restaurant. The Holiday Inn by the Bay had no outdoor signs posting Gay Prom, and in fact, once inside, it took us a few minutes to figure out where we were going. Was this a needed precaution to protect attendees, or just an oversight by the prom committee? We knew there were some dangers of going to an openly gay prom, whether nosy stares and reluctant smiles from the disapproving, or the kind of horrifying violence that had littered the country by those afflicted with homophobia. As straight teens, perhaps Allie and I were exposing ourselves to danger affiliating ourselves with gay friends, but perhaps we'd rather run that risk than know we backed away from supporting our friends because people might think we are gay. So we went to prom. No turning back now.
But you know what, guys? The prom was basically like any other prom. Overpriced gowns and rented tuxes, crepe-papered ceilings, and frivolous finger food. And of course, let's not forget the drag show. Reporting for This Way Out from Portland, Maine, this is Allison Day and Julie Joy.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, Chase Schulte, Susan Gage, Brian Nunes, Graham Underhill, Jason Lynn, Chris Ambidge, Rex Walkner, Matt Alsdorf, Leslie Lawson, and Julie Joy and Allison Day contributed program material. Thanks also to Barbara Dabb, Bob Rosenthal, Claire Holman, Jody Williams, Kristen Moores, and Portland, Maine's alternative prom sponsor, Outright. Dead or Alive performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded by grants from the Gill Foundation and the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, by Planet Out, from designated contributions by Uncommon Cloud Visa card holders who've chosen This Way Out, and through direct charitable donations from our listeners around the world. For audio cassette information or with any questions or comments about This Way Out, please email us at tworadio@aol.com, visit our webpage at thiswayout.org, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. And please be sure to include the call letters of this station. Remember, you can also hear This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. Just point your browser to www.planetout.com and click first on Multimedia, then on Radio. For Lucia Chappelle and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks very much for listening on WLUW Chicago, Illinois, CJSR Edmonton, Alberta, KUNM Albuquerque, New Mexico, and more than 100 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. And we know you'll stay tuned.